book reviews, but this is a book, but it's really a short little book. It's like 50 pages long, so it's very easy to read, easy reader. But the reason I loved it and I wanted to do it for you this morning is because I have already done a book review for you guys on the 7 Habits of Highly Effective leaders, right? Stephen Covey wrote this book years ago. He was incredibly highly recognized for it. In fact, a lot of people call it the number one business management book ever printed. And so, it's a great, great book. When I first read it years and years ago, probably, 30 years ago? I don't even remember when it first came out, but I remember reading it, and it was a really hard book for me to tackle. I don't know how many of you have tried to read it or have read it, but some of the concepts in it, I had to, like, stop and go back and reread because it's a really intense book. I wouldn't call it an easy reader. And so there are probably a lot of you on the phone call today that said, you know, Mary Jo, I bought it, I tried to read it, or I remember reading parts of it, I kind of skipped over some parts, or some of it didn't make all the sense in the world to me, or I didn't get all of it. And there are going to be other on the call today that said, oh, Mary Jo, I read the book and I'm a follower or something. All of us are in different places, and this isn't about questioning where you are with it. It's the idea is that it was like when I saw this little booklet, ebook, 7 Habits of Highly Effective Network Marketers by Stephen Covey, I was exhilarated because it was a 50-page document book that was directed specifically at network marketing. And I thought, wow, for all of us in Manatech who maybe had a hard time conquering his first book and haven't been implementing the ideas and concepts from his first book into our lives on a daily basis, this is perfect because it's a little nutshell of what his 400-page, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People book is. It's a nutshell of it that really is aimed and directed at us as professional network marketers. So I think that there's no one on this call that can't get these concepts down. If you get really excited about these, you can go and get the ebook. I think it's $2 or $3 Lydia got it for. And then you also get a free audio from Stephen Covey. It's an interview with him. So you can choose to do that. I'm not suggesting that you do, but it's not very much cost. You can say, well, why does he do it for so cheap? Well, because if 100,000 people use it, he makes $300,000, right? There's no duplication cost when you have an ebook. So these are very, very effective ways of people making lots of money. But that is not, I guarantee you, not what Stephen Covey's about. Stephen Covey is about a guy who wants to change the world. He wants to have maximum influence over people's lives, just like you and I should desire to do. And he uses mechanisms to do that. By the way, Stephen has passed away for some of us who, really followed him. Last year he died of a crazy bike accident, and it was sad to lose such an incredibly talented person who was doing so much for this world. I mean, he was working over in the Muslim countries. He was having think tanks that he had developed over to try to, expedite world peace. I mean, this guy was involved in every facet of this world and putting his life in places where you and I probably can't even conceptualize to try to, resolve problems. And just an incredible man, one of the most highly published books in the world in more languages than any other book, I should say, except the Bible, of course. He was an incredibly great man with great ideas, great concepts that apply to you and I in every day of our life. So let's jump in and talk about this little booklet. I'll run through my outline today, and you can get the booklet yourself. It's only 50 pages long, so it's a very quick reader, or maybe 70 pages? I don't remember exactly. I thought it was around 50. But it's an incredibly quick read. Let me just see if I have, 70 pages long, okay? Yeah, I have it in front of me on my iPad. That's how I read all my books now. I just get them on my iPad. I can make notes. I can highlight. Oh, my gosh, it was a dream come true when Lydia set me up with this because I mean, that's one of the reasons I couldn't use an iPad or computer for reading books in the past, because I always wanted to take notes in the side, you know, side margins and all that. Now I can do that. So super, get that for you. So let's talk about, let's just jump in and talk about kind of an introduction. He talked about the common thread that appears in most network marketing conversations. And maybe if this sounds like you, you know, get your highlighter out as we go through this outline, because it can really be helpful. By the way, there are a few typos because we had all this transition of trying to get to Manatech this morning. There was confusion. So I apologize. Lydia's going to clean it up and get the final draft out there when we get back at our house this late this afternoon or early evening. So, but I will highlight some of the typos so that they don't offend you too much. Introduction. So he talks about a common thread that appears in most network marketing conversations. How many times do we hear, my success seems to ebb and flow. How can I achieve consistent results? Is that you? Circle it if it's you, or highlight it. How do I motivate great performance from my team? Do you have a hard time doing that? Some of you I know on this call are going, what team? Right, well, maybe we need to build a team first, so how do I build a team? That's your question. Number C, how do I get over not wanting to talk to people? That is a common thread out there. When I talk to people and I say, yeah, you got to go and share with people, you got to go love on people, it's a tough one to overcome. And I'm going to tell you, this is probably, you know, sometimes when I look back at Manatech and I see people like Wendy Kramer, who became, you know, presidential so fast, and I looked at her mechanism, she worked through churches. And, you know, when I see this, how do I get over not wanting to talk to people? I think that one of the great aspects of working through churches and people who have a Christian walk is a tendency that, I mean, what are we doing on this planet? If you have a solid Christian base in your life, you know, and this isn't just related to Christians, but you're virtually guaranteed that people have been trained and taught to be Christ-like. So that means that they are trained and taught to go out and share and interfere in other people's lives, right? So it's part of our natural predisposition in our life in that realm, so then we don't have to try to overcome that. But this is a big, you know, if you don't have that kind of walk in your life, or you don't have a faith-based walk or something that has opened your eyes up to the importance of going out and loving on others and helping make this a better place, whatever that base might have been for you, you're going to have problems. You're going to say, I don't want to talk to people. I'm kind of quiet, shy, and I don't want to talk to people. Don't claim it. Just something that you're placing on yourself as a status symbol. If I'm shy, you're not shy. You're just choosing not to talk to people. You can choose not to be, right? There's people don't get that, but a lot of these things, characteristics that we claim, are not characteristics at all. They're just choices we're making. So I seem to face rejection all the time. That's a big one. Even people who like to talk to people go, oh, I'm always getting rejection. Rah, rah, rah. Okay, how do I? There's so much to do and there's never enough time. How do I become a highly effective network marketing professional instead of just going in circles, wasting time, not making any impact, but hoping for the best? So circle the ones that apply to you. Some of you already have four circles on your sheet. It's great that you acknowledge it. Now let's do something about it. He suggests two things are at the core of our effectiveness. Number one is following, this is the first typo, so sorry, the ampersand no. Following the seven habits of highly effective people. Following the seven habits of highly effective people. And that's critically important. That's what we're going to talk about today out of Stephen Covey's book. So that's crucial about our effectiveness. If we want to be more effective people, we need to really understand these habits of highly effective people. So we can be more. Number two is the fundamental shift in thinking required to live by them. In other words, what fundamental shift do I need to make in my thinking, in my paradigms, in order to make sure I'm living by these seven habits of highly effective people? Habits, what are habits? Habits are just patterns of behavior composed of three overlapping components. Knowledge, that means knowledge. We need to be knowledgeable. We need to have the right attitude. And there's a level of skill that's required, right? There's some basic level of skill. These are learned habits, thus our second nature is not first. In other words, it doesn't come as second nature to us, right? These things are not like, I shouldn't say that. The real way of looking at it is that they're not natural to come. They have to come by second nature. We have to educate ourselves to have more knowledge. We have to perceive our attitude and shift that attitude. So that's not our first nature, our natural way of doing things, our first nature. And skills come only by what? Education as well. So all of these require education. So we need to look at ourselves and know that we can't just go out there and make things happen, right? We need to be educating ourselves on what's truly effective for us. And he says, you need to do a lot of things. We need, in order to be effective network, we need a new level of thinking, which is based on principles of effective personal management. So circle that one, personal management. We need to manage ourselves. How many of you feel like you are great managers of yourself? Probably not very many of us. And I, you know, I sometimes looked at my life and said I was forced into some personal management many times in my life because of my time constraints with lawyering 12, 14 hours a day. You have to manage yourself or you're dead, right? I mean, there's a scenario there. Some of us make that happen without really having the pressures. We create crises in our lives and we create it that way. But personal management is critical. Personal management is critical. Okay, so let's look at personal management. Need a character-based inside-out approach. In other words, start with you first. So what do you need to do? You need to work on, you know, we love to find people and say, oh my gosh, this person really needs work, and that you go, take the log out of your eye before you try to remove a speck in another's. It's always about focus on self. How do I become better? That's why so much network marketing is so appreciated in the industry, of the business industry, because it puts so much emphasis on personal development. We want to develop as a human being. We want to become a better person. I know that was not something I had in mind when I joined Manatech, but boy, did it become relevant as I stumbled my way around trying to make this work. I always wanted to, you know, this is what I laugh at when people say, oh, network marketing, it doesn't work. And I go, I don't think that's right. I really think it works. It's where have I left aside some of that personal development work that I really need? What is standing in my way? And I tell people, look in a mirror. You know, always work on self. Get to work on self and work on how can I be better? What can I do differently to improve my effectiveness, right? So inside part of you is character. The most inside part, I love this comment, is character. What makes us up? What are our core values? What are our priorities in life? Who do we put first? What is your character? What are the principles that you're guided by, right? That's your character. Huge. Effectiveness starts with the heart. If I come from duplicity or insincerity, then in the long run, I will never be successful. Absolutely true. And we have a lot of people who get involved in network marketing. You guys can recognize some of those. And some of them have gotten to be successful in network marketing, but a lot of them have fallen by the wayside because their heart isn't right. They truly are not sincere people. Duplicity is a sense of having like a double intent. You know, doing manipulating, you know, where you have one intent here and the other intent. I'm doing this to intentionally doing this over here, but my real intent is over here. Hidden agendas would be duplicity as well. So, you know, we want to quit playing in that aura because it's not going to serve us. We want to have total sincerity. Mean what you say and say what you mean. You know, that's another great way of putting it. If little or no trust, then you have no team. So it's a choice. You can choose one T or the other. You can't have both, right? I mean, you can't have no trust and a T. You can't have one and not the other. So you have to choose. You either have both or you have neither. So it's like, if I want to have a team, then I need to have a high level of trust. And that means that you treat others, it gets to that golden rule. Treat others as they treat you and want them to treat you. In other words, when I do my network marketing, I teach people how to do this business. I tell them exactly how I do the business and how I did the business. That's how I did it effectively, not how I did it the first 6 months. You know, I don't set traps for people. And I don't try to structure their downline that best benefits me. That's insanity. But people have done that in this business, and it's horrible. It's wrong. It'll never serve you. You want to help educate people to do the best thing they can do for their organization, which is the best thing you could do for your organization. This is about duplication. Not me, 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 I'm important, so I'm going to tell you to put all your all-stars in one leg because that's going to give me highest, you know, all these kind of star bonus stuff. Well, thank goodness Manatech got away with one of those most manipulative things that we've had in our businesses, which is star bonuses. That's great because that was one of the big manipulation points out there that people use to manipulate. But do this business the right way. Teach people to build a business the same way you built your business or effectively should have been building your business, right? So a golden rule. So the real nucleus of the seven habits, and this is a real critical, this is right from Stephen Covey, the real nucleus of seven habits, the book Seven Habits is principle. Principles are natural laws. The key is to align our values, our habits, our behavior with principles. That's we take principled action. Every action should be based on principles. Principles, truths, natural laws. They must also work on your. You must also work on our paradigms. That's the mental images we have. So we work on our principles and we work on our mental images. What are mental images that we have? Those are the things that we've constructed over the years that we've built, that are paradigms, and most of us, that's what's blocking us. They're paradigms that aren't working for us. But somehow they got built out of experiences we had, experiences we're currently having. I have people come up to me and say, you know, everyone I talk to out there goes, is this network marketing? And they get real, and I go, wow, it's a paradigm. You're stuck in a paradigm. And they want to argue with me. Mary Jo, that's my reality. And I said, it's not possible. It's not possible that every person you talk to, and why are you allowing them to build your paradigm? Don't give them control over you. I mean, are people ignorant out there? They don't understand network marketing? Yeah. And remember, you are a professional network marketer. A professional network marketer. Just like if you were a lawyer and somebody told you a lawyer joke, would that cause you to believe lawyers are bad? I mean, just because somebody jokes about them? I mean, it's the idea is that people are going to have, you know, they're going to do all sorts of things to undercut you and hold you back. You got to decide whether you're allowing them to influence your paradigm, your mental image, or are you going to shut them out? That's what needs to happen, right? So be careful that our paradigms are not. And the other paradigms that we get stuck in is we get to be self-righteous. We start grabbing onto things that we know, and da-da-da-da, and we're going to be righteous about it, da-da-da, and it shuts the door to other people. And we have people out in our lives that are very much like that. I know because I come from that kind of background. Being a lawyer, we took that stance many times. So it was hard for me to break that paradigm in my life and just be open and be almost like a Zen-like approach. It's almost like, you know, beginner's mind. Start with beginner's mind, which is you blank the mind and you just listen. You know, you listen to hear because other people, you know, have a lot to offer you. And as I've told you, everybody in the past, one of the most effective things for me was the idea that I came to the conclusion everybody has something to offer me. Because everything we are and everything we've become is based upon what? The experiences we've had in our life. And none of us have had exactly the same experiences. So that means everybody has different knowledge base and has different understandings that can support me in my understandings and give me insight because I can't ever live their lives. And that was huge for me to shift. Because we need to shift. Okay, effective network marketers, let's run through this quickly and then we'll go through the habits. Effective network marketers manage themselves first. Okay, so let's talk about that. We manage ourselves first, right? So in Stephen Covey's book, the first three of his seven habits are based on managing yourself, right? So let's look at those first three. Be proactive. We demonstrate the initiative and resourcefulness to get things done. We begin with the end in mind. We have a clear vision. Is that clear? Is everybody get highlight that one? We talk about clarity of vision all the time, right? And that vision drives everything we do on a daily basis. And that's called application and prioritizing. That doesn't always happen for some of us. We let other things get in the way of the vision, but it should drive everything on a daily basis. Okay, number three, put first things first. They execute superbly on the truly important goals. In other words, we don't let bunny trails get in. We don't get sidetracked, okay? So those are three crucial techniques and crucial ideas of habits we need to create to manage ourselves first. Once you lay the foundation for yourself, then you can go on to managing your teams effectively. And habits 4, 5, and 6 in Stephen Covey's book, his next three habits are truly about team management. Managing others, okay, and how we interact in relationships with people. Number one, habit number four is think win-win. Motivating the team is not a problem for them because they know how to help everyone win. New distributors, corporate office, even retail members, all of these. How are you guys doing in regard to that? Are you helping the corporate office win? Isn't this amazing? Some people say to me, well, Mary Jo, are you on the pay? Somebody asked me that. You go spend so much time, are you on the payroll over there? And I go, no, they don't pay me a dime. And they're like, well, look at how much time you're spending on working with Manatech. It's, you know, and I said, because I'm in win-win. I'm in win-win. For Manatech to really, for this whole entity to truly end global malnutrition,
Doesn't Manatech need to win here, people? Doesn't Sam Castor need to win here? I mean, if we're taking on his vision, if we really look at him as God-driven and God's given him this vision, this is what drives me so much. God gave him this vision. I'm in the perfect place to support that vision to become a reality. And what am I doing about it? Wow, that's a good question, isn't it? So you bet I'm going to grow my GPV every month. You bet I'm going to help save more children every month. You bet. I mean, it's huge for me. It's huge. It's not a small thing. It's big. But mine's based on my faith. Yours might be based on whatever it is. But, you know, Manatech needs to win. So we need to, a corporate office needs to win. Our retail members, our customers out there need to win. Our distributors definitely need to win because they are the power. They're the engine behind us achieving the results we want to achieve. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. They are superb listeners, right? Oh, my goodness. There you go again. We've talked about that 100 times on these calls. How do I get better listening skills? Well, you better figure it out because I still work on it every day. I found myself on a call with somebody the other day, and I was like, I had to stop and say, you know, I'm interrupting you because I'm anxious because I'm trying to get something done here. I am sorry. Go ahead, and I want to hear your story. It was just really a revelation. Why don't you do that when you see yourself intruding? Sometimes we don't see ourselves intruding on other people. But, you know, there are some great listeners in Manatech by far. In fact, we have a lot of presidential directors that are absolutely incredible listeners. And I know exactly how they got where they got because they're great listeners. It's something I've needed to work on all my life because how do you learn listening skills? From our parents. I grew up in an environment, my mother was horrible. In fact, I don't think she ever listened to me. Ever. She had 4 kids in 3.5 years and she didn't have time to listen. Yes, that was, I think that wasn't her mantra. She never said that. But if you look back at her life and how she struggled raising 4 kids, you know, and they were all like a year apart or less than a year, I mean, it was tough. She had a tough time. But that was a choice. And she, you know, even as she was older, she never listened. But what did I learn? And I'm not going victim to my mom. I'm just saying how naive I was to think that this is the way life needed to be. If I only would have had some of the personal development when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, instead of, you know, finding it later on in life, what a difference it could have made. But I don't do woulda, coulda, shoulda. I think of the beauty of where I am today and what's transpired in my life. So we don't look back woulda, coulda, shoulda. We just go, wow, what a blessing it is to have this understanding today. And we all need to be superb listeners. We need to work on that every day. Synergize. That's the concept of seeking the best possible input from upline, downline, crossline, corporate. Where can I get the best feedback? Looking for new and better ways to do things all the time. It's what we're doing today. Manatech's flown in, I think, 4 or 5 other presidential directors, and I'm sitting in a meeting all day starting as soon as I get off this call for 6 hours. We're going to be nonstop hammering out. We're looking at business presentations. How do we maximize and create the best possible business presentation for everybody in the field? Isn't that great? Because I was squawking about it about a month ago, and this is the result of Mary Jo squawking out there. Squawk enough and somebody will respond. But I really wanted desperately to have a great business presentation for all of you, and it wasn't about me trying to prepare it. It was about, hey, let's get input from everybody, right? This is synergy. If we get all this great input, clearly we're going to get the best possible product. Yeah? Yep, yep, yep. So that's what synergy is all about. So synergize is critically important, and that's what we're doing. So those three things are huge. You work with the organization to synergize. You seek first to listen. You think win-win. You apply these principles to your organization, you're going to build the most awesome team on the face of the earth. But you've got to have them clear in your head before you build them, because if you don't have them down, how are you building them? And then finally, effective network marketers always practice habit 7. And what is it? Sharpen the saw. And that's clear. You're dealing with somebody that you know about, Mary Jo. She's the one that always preaches and teaches, are you green and growing or ripe and rotting? Well, sharpen the saw is about green and growing. Don't opt for the option because there is no middle ground. You don't just exist. You're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. There's no status quo called stability. It doesn't exist. There's nothing stationary in the universe, right? And God created things. This is one of the things I was working on. God created everything with this life growth, right? Multiplication, this concept of constant growth. Everything in the universe is created that way.
And that's what, when we talked about, you know, the science of getting rich last week, we talked about that, that whole concept, that that's how we are, that's what the environment, the universe we work in is about multiplication. It's about growth. And we're either in the flow or we're shrinking. So choice again, green or growing or ripe or rotting. And of course, there are many ways of sharpening the saw, and we can talk about that as well. Now let's run through, I'm just going to run through the habits. I gave you an overview, three about you, three about the team, and one goes back to you, but without sharpening the saw, the other ones are not going to be really good for you because you need to consistently work on self. You need to grow. People will follow people who are growing because they want to be part of that growth. They want to grow as well. They want to get better. They want to enhance themselves. They want to move forward. It's right. That's our whole concept here. We want to move forward, become a better person, a better me, build a better business, be a better spouse, be a better mom or dad. We, you know, that's our goal. It's always about how. Be a better Christian. Be a better faith-based person. Be a better whatever, you know, that choices that you're making in your life. That's what where we want to be and how we want to operate from. So sharpen the saw. Critical. All right, so let's go back and now let's look at the habits one at a time, just so you guys, for those of you who are, you know, are not as familiar with the seven habits, I'm going to run through just kind of what they are and what they mean from network marketing, which is what Stephen does in this book. He then breaks them down individually. He talks about be proactive. Networking runs on proactivity, doesn't it? I mean, look at what we need to do. Being proactive means taking initiative. If you don't take initiative in network marketing, you're going to go nowhere. Because you can't sit back and go, okay, Lord, just bring me the people that you would have me communicate with. I've had people in the religious realm who have said that to me. They say, well, Mary Jo, I'm just going to wait. The Lord, if he really wants me to do this business, he'll just bring me people. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. Okay, all right. So where does it say scripturally that the Lord's going to just bring you people that you can share salvation with? Or did he tell us to go out and share the gospel? Right? I mean, the Lord was not about being reactive. It was about proactive. I mean, if you don't get that crystal clear from the Bible, you're missing a point. But the idea here is that in network marketing, we need it. That's why I keep telling people, I said, pick two or three events every week to get involved in. Go out there, go places, collect cards, get to know new people. Build a group of people, of people that you liked, that you like and you get to know and you can share with and grow with. Build new friendships. Go out there and make things happen. That doesn't have to take you a zillion hours. Just build friendships. Go out there and meet new people, help people out, become an important person in their life, allow them to become important and contribute in your life, right? So we need to be proactive. We need to constantly be in action. And we have to learn how not to be acted upon. You know, so if you're out there and if somebody failed, like somebody failed to see the vision in Manatech, how does that impact you? That if you're allowing them to impact you and you get negative and you get down and you get depressed and you go this way or that way, or you start questioning network marketing as a model or all this stuff, what are you doing? You're getting to be in the reactive mode. You're missing the point. You're perfectly positioned to build a beautiful business and you're going to let somebody else shortcut you? What's that about? Are you just looking for that so you have another excuse? Forget it. You're perfectly positioned to build an incredible business. You have a phenomenal model. You have the most, you know, economically efficient model of distribution on the face of the earth. You have the most incredible product. You have an incredible mission that you and I wouldn't even know where to start in ending global malnutrition if it weren't for Sam Castor. We'd be like sitting back going, what is little old me going to do from Arlington, Texas, right? No, we have all this laid out in front of us. Maybe we're not grateful enough for what we have, but all of this is present for us. And we're going to let somebody who's clueless about network marketing tell us that network marketing is a joke and it doesn't work and it's not a real business. And are you kidding? Don't let that. This is where we are allowing others to influence our minds and rob us of our life. People are going to be ignorant, given. Do you have an opportunity there? Yes. It's called, how can I help educate them? You can lead in, will it work? Who knows? I'm going to suggest that helping somebody educate somebody always works. It just may be that you don't get to see the net results. because you've added a bit of information for their brain. They assimilate it. It's stored somewhere. They may dispute it to your face, but guess what? You gave them the information, so the brain took it in. So maybe it's going to take five more people to talk to them. But, right? Incredible. So, again, dwell on what you can control, not what you can't. Proactive networkers allow nothing to stop them. They do whatever it takes to meet their daily activities, weekly goals. You know, and there's an example in the book on page 14. I don't think we have a chance to go over it right now because I'm on the first one. I need six more. So, but it highlights to you everything that I talked about when I talked about all the people that walked across stage at the National Convention of Professional Network Marketers a couple months ago now. And that was every single one of those people said they had a daily activity list. They did their daily activities every day. They had weekly goals of what they would accomplish, and they did it no matter what. They let nothing stop them. That's what this is about. Proactive networkers don't allow anything to stop them. They set a goal, they set a commitment on daily activities, and they do it. And that's what Lenny's story is in the book. It's the same thing. He became a multimillionaire in network marketing. He said, I'm going to do X number of presentations every day. He went out and did X number of presentations. He talked to 520 people. He signed up 52 of them, and four of them made him millions. This is not a story from my, sounds the same as what I heard at my professional network marketers meeting convention, but it's a different story, yet another guy. So I'm going to suggest that maybe this is a truism that's happening with everybody who's effective in network marketing. What do you think? Starting to show up too many places. So what does that look like for you, and where's your daily commitment? Where's your daily commitment? Use your resourcefulness and initiative, right? So it doesn't mean being pushy. It just means taking responsibility for making things happen. Initiative, that's what initiative is. You step out and you take responsibility for making things happen. And as Anthony Robbins said, he said, let your prospect determine your presentation. This could be a key paradigm shift because we're seeking first to be understand others. So if we do that, our prospects will, in fact, determine our presentations. And the difference between a proactive and reactive networker is not 20 or 25%. In other words, they don't sign up two more people than you do on a monthly basis. It's a 5,000+% difference, right? And you can look at, I put in the book, they talked about contrasting language, and we put that in the book. You can look at the contrasting language on the second last page. Lydia attached the exact word for word language they use. Like, and I thought the first one was really funny because it was applicable to what we're doing today. I can't go to my company's annual convention versus I choose not to go to the convention. Contrasting language, powerful language. Choice, right? I have to, this is disempowering language versus empowering language. Victim language versus responsible language. So don't say I can't go to my company's. If you're not coming to Manifest, at least say I choose not to go to Manifest. Make that statement. Be powerful about it. It doesn't mean it's a bad choice. You have all the reasons why you didn't go, but don't say, I can't go. Of course you can go, but you chose. Take responsibility for your actions, right? That's the importance here, is, you know, taking responsibility. And then understanding that circle of influence concept, use it to motivate yourself. Circle of influence concept is this. Draw two circles on your page. The outside bigger circle and a small inner circle. The outside circle is called your circle of concern. The inside circle is your circle of influence. Our concerns about the world are far greater than what we can influence. Does everybody agree? Of course. Just understand before I go, so our circle of influence could be some of our family members, our attitude, our health, all these kind of our work, our job, how much time and energy we put into network marketing, what we do in Manatech, all those are circle of influence. We have control, right? We have truly ability to influence all of those things in our life. What we don't have ability to influence, perhaps, is others' behavior, the economy, the weather, things like that, politics, right? Oh, we think we can influence that, so we spend all our time doing that, and maybe then it doesn't work anyway, but the idea here, and I'm not saying stay out of politics, I'm not going to go there, but the inner circle is called our circle of influence. There are things we can do something about. So what do we do something about? We focus on those. People who are proactive focus on what? Things we can do something about. We truly focus on creating different results in that regard. So you want to look at those circle of influence. Where are you putting your time and energy? Proactive people focus on circle of influence. Reactive people look at circle of concern.
So notice how you streamline your energy into things that you truly can influence. That's the idea. Okay, begin with the end in mind. The second one, that's clear vision. That's, you know, we talked about this with Vince Pacetti, how to have a crystal clarity of vision, the importance of what? Of having an emotional buzz around it. Make sure, look back at defining moments in your life to get clarity of vision. And hopefully you guys have done some of these exercises so you're really clear, having a passion must be present for the vision. Napoleon Hill, there's one quality that one must possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants, and a burning desire to possess it. That's huge. I put an asterisk there. Difference between efficiency and effectiveness. No amount of efficiency will ever compensate for failure in leadership. You need to be an effective leader. And that means focus on your team's efforts on finding business builders to perpetuate their team's growth. So what is Mary Jo doing today? She's spending an entire day building a business presentation because I want all of you to be effective leaders in helping your people find business people. And if we can't do that unless we have a really effective business presentation. Everybody agree?
Agree.
That's the crucial one. All things are created twice, mental first, then physical. So we need to be our first creators. The importance here is you need to create the mental. Don't let other people create your mental image. My friends will not like me if I talk to them about network marketing. Who created that image? Your friends did, not you. Come on, people. Don't let other people create your mental image. Because if you create the mental image, what's it going to create? The physicality is going to be created, or the result's going to be created, because you're buying into somebody else's garbage. Quit it, right? Personal mission statements, critical. Critical of this habit to have a personal mission statement. I threw this together this morning for you because I thought maybe somebody will want an example, and there's a typo in it, but let me just read this. This came off the top of my head a minute before I sent the outline out. It said this, a vision of it. I said, I am Christ-like in all I do. Loving others as Christ loved me, caring for the least of us, always growing in my understanding, and joyfully taking on this world, empowering others to join me in making a better place for all. That's where the typo is. Get rid of the with me. As I build 12 new churches in Brazil over the next 24 months. Isn't that powerful? I just threw that. I loved it. I was just like, I haven't written it like that. I always had my clarity of vision was about what I'm going to create, my 12 churches in Brazil over the next 20. And now I have this better clarity that puts the principles behind it. What a wonderful thing. I love this aspect of it. So pick up on that for yourself. C, the third one is put first things first. You must develop resourceless initiative, right? You have to do vision first. So you got to get the vision. Clarity of vision has to come first. We always know that. That's why we outline it as first. And now what you want to do. We want to don't let other things get in the way of what's most important. And Goethe said, things that matter most must never be at the mercy of things that matter least. That's a powerful one. And E.M. Gray, author of The Common Denominator of Six, put it this way. He said, the successful person has a habit of doing the things failures don't like to do. They don't like to doing them either, but their dislike is subordinated to the strength of their purpose. Wow. Is helping save malnourished kids, is helping my family have a legacy, is helping build 12 churches in Brazil. Am I willing to do things I don't like to do or don't feel comfortable doing? Absolutely. I'm willing to do things that are outside my comfort zone every day of my life because all of the above that I just listed are much more important, and I'm not going to subordinate them to any stuff going on in my little pea brain about what's good for Mary Jo. So how is that impacting your life? Right? The understand the behavior matrix, you guys need to look at the back of that. It's very, very powerful. I don't have time to go through it all with you this morning. But the quadrant of urgent, important, you need to understand important, your mission, your general strategy, and the plans to implement your strategy. Your important is your value system based on principles that helps you set up your mission, your strategy, and your plans. Your urgency comes from environments. It presses upon you. It has the appearance of requiring immediate attention. Now, the problem is that too many of you are living in quadrant one, which is the urgent, important one. Wrong. Then we'll look at what happens. Your common activities are fighting crisis, deadline-driven, medical emergencies, other true passing on, pressing problems on its last-minute preparation. That is not where you want to be, right? You want to be in quadrant two. This is the ultimate. Circle quadrant two, that's where you want to be. Because what is it about? It's the heart of effective personal management.
And oftentimes these things get set aside because more urgent, quote unquote, you're letting urgent take over your life. Now, number quadrant four is something that's called pure waste. So all of us should be able to acknowledge that this is pure waste. And if you're not, start acknowledging it because it's holding you back in a huge way. And quadrant three is the one that's kind of a vicious trap for many people. These are activities that appear to be urgent but really not important. They appear urgent, but they're not important. So you do them to keep busy instead of doing what is what? Important, right? So understand those quadrants. They're terrific for you. They'll help you in a ton of ways. So that's putting first things first. Now, fourth habit is win-win. Thinking of win-win, we need to be in the win-win concept. It lies at the heart of all relationship. That just means that it's the absolute golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and always come from win-win. We deal with six paradigms of human interactions: win-lose, lose-lose, lose-win, win, no deal, or win-win. In network marketing, there's no room for any interaction that results in anyone losing. So if you're finding yourself there, stop it and move forward. Do something different. Always practice win-win mentality, and never practice lose-lose. And these have different characteristics. I don't have time to go over all of them, but you can establish them. Each of them define different activities that we do, you know, and where we are in our life, who's most important in your process of thinking. So we need to be considerate and courageous because it takes courage to go do win-win. A lot of courage to do that. But you want to develop win-win for people and establish them as win-win leaders. Habit five, seek first to understand, then be understood. This is huge, people. It's about learning how to listen, and it transforms the whole relationship. When you become a great listener, you'll have totally different relationships than you have today. Some of us need to look at that. Where do I need to develop better relationships? And it's all about listening. Great networkers are superb at listening. And the concept here is empathic listening, so understand that. And that is listening to understand without the intent to reply. See, too many times we as networkers are so over-anxious to tell people how we can fix them. Our whole idea is to glean information and then even ask them, well, what are you going to do about that? See, the minute somebody says, I have a health problem, we want to jump all over it. Wrong. Then you're selling, right? Find out what they're going to do about it, and then you can call them back later. Remember Paula Pritchard? Paula Pritchard found out their want, right, in her discovery process with empathic listening, and then a week later they might have called back and said, you know, Sam, the other day you were talking to me and you told me you wanted to help reestablish your kid's college education fund. Were you honest about that? Were you telling me the truth, or are you just kidding? Are you really, really, really committed to that, or are you kidding? And Paula would go, great. Well, listen, I don't have time right now, but you and I need to talk because I think I have a solution for you. So how about tomorrow? Starbucks, where can we meet? You get it? Paula Pritchard, that's her way of doing it. It was perfect. It was empathic listening. She didn't even tell them where she was going. She just did it as a discovery device, right? And then came back later. The other half of the habit is knowing how to be understood. Oh, my gosh, this is equally important. This is a whole another level of understanding. Sometimes we can't get this. You know, when you present your ideas, you know, you've got to be able to understand the paradigms and concerns of the other person. That will significantly increase your credibility of your ideas. So you need to understand. It lifts you to be greater, more accuracy in your presentations, more integrity in your presentations as well. So if you find that you're out of integrity or you don't feel comfortable in your presentations, I'm suggesting you're not meeting the other person's needs. Remember, need fulfillment? Be in integrity. Habit number six is synergize. What does that mean? That just basically gets to 1 + 1 = 3. In other words, you're going to work together with people to create the best possible results. You have to have open your mind to having better ways of doing things, more possibilities, more alternatives, more options. That's what you need to do. You can overcome your weaknesses by working with others who have strengths you may not have. All these are recognition about you. And going into working with other people and absorbing what they have to offer, not shutting them down. When you disagree, you don't tell them, well, that's wrong. No. You go, wow, well, how did you get to that conclusion? And you learn. You just learn. Be open to learn because that's going to present the best results. And then habit seven is our last one, sharpen the saw. And in sharpening the saw, what are we doing? We're just working on ourselves. It's a whole concept, again, of reading books, achieving, finding nuggets of wisdom, all those things to create the best possible results. Ask the following questions to yourself. In the physical dimension, ask, and I gave you the physical dimension, are your financial needs being met? in the spiritual dimension, what would make your work more meaningful to you? What contribution could you make to influence others? In the mental dimension, what are you really good at? Are your talents being used in your organization? And finally, and in the social emotional realm, what about your work do you love doing? How are your relationships with others on your team? Answer those questions. And that's great because it'll start telling you where you need to do more work. Where do I need more sharpening of the saw? Okay, guys, great. Any questions or last-minute comments? Sorry I raced through it, but it's great, great material. I've always loved Stephen Covey's book, and I really, you know, refreshers are always great for me, but I think it's awesome that he's taken his book and now applied it directly to network marketing so all of us can experience it in the realm of what we do every day. Any comments, questions from the field before we conclude?
Mary Jo?
Yes?
It's Nancy again. What is the link to be able to get that ebook?
This is Lydia. There's not a link. You have to buy it through iTunes.
Oh, okay.
There you go. iTunes. There you go. Perfect. Anyone else? Okay, hope you guys all grow from this. Take the information, absorb it, highlight where you see your needs are, and then some of you might have highlighted half of the outline or three-quarters of it. That's okay. I honor you for acknowledging where there's some shortcomings. And don't be in overwhelm. Stop it. Start with one at a time. How do we eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So start conquering those. But who do you work on first? Not your team, you work on you. You are the core of that team. So what? Work on those first three habits first, and then the rest will come later. All right, everybody. Love you all. Have a great week. Let's go out there and make a difference. We got a huge, 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 concept here of global malnutrition. I love it. I thrive on it. It's what keeps me going every day. And so I just hope and pray you guys feel the same and can stay convicted. Thanks, everybody. Love you guys. Bye-bye.